So are we ready to get in the Word this morning?
Yes.
All right. I want to talk to you this morning about women of honor. And I know it's Mother's Day, but I want to include other ladies as well into my narrative this morning. And I'm going to talk to you a little differently this morning. I'm not going to teach so much as I might end up preaching a little, telling little stories, okay, about some wonderful woman in the Bible. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Both Old and New Testament are filled with wonderful, wonderful women and mothers that did amazing stuff. I could have kept you for a whole week just looking at all the wonderful ladies and what they did. So please, if I didn't pick your favorite lady today, just don't get mad, all right? We're going to talk about a few ladies that I just thought were awesome. Now, one of the things I noticed about women of honor is that when they see a need, they meet it. They're very generous. Women are generous. In fact, women tend to be more generous than men. So this is Women's Day, okay? So guys, just suck it up, okay? Back in Kings, 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8, there's a wonderful story told of Elisha who comes to the town of Shunem, and there's a wealthy widow. Well, she's not a widow. There's a wealthy woman that lives there. And Elisha would come past on a regular basis. And when he'd come by, this lady would, just say, well, why don't you come in for a meal and offer him a meal? And she recognized that he was a holy man. There was something different about him. And so she, being as generous as she was, she said to her husband, I think there's more that we can do for this man, why don't we do an extension to our house? What? Yeah, let's do an extension. Let's add on another room to the house. And of course, back in those days, they had flat roofs, so they would just put it on top. And we could put a little room up there and put a bed and a table and a lamp and everything. So when this holy man comes by, he'd have a place to rest and we can feed him. So the husband was very willing to just accommodate what his wife was asking for, right? Called in the builders, go ahead, do the extension. And, Elisha came by and an interesting thing happened. He had a servant, Gehazi, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, he said, go speak to this lady and ask her, is there anything that we can do for you? What do you need? Is there anything we can do for you? Can I talk to the government for you? Can I talk to the king, the president, whoever? What can I do for you? And she said, actually, there's nothing. I'm okay. I don't need anything. And then Gehazi said to Elisha, she doesn't have a child. And so Elisha said, well, by this time next year, you're going to have a son. And glad he asked her first, right? And she said, hey, don't tease me. Don't tease me. Don't be saying stuff like that if it's not going to happen. All right? So he said, no, it's going to happen. And you know the story. She did fall pregnant. She had the son. Then the son died. And so often, we get things from God. We get gifts from God. And this is one of those occasions where God blesses her for her good works, her generosity and everything else. And then something goes wrong in our life. Something goes horribly wrong. But this dear lady knew to hang on to the promise that God gave her. She could have given up at that point. She said, oh, well, at least I had him for 12 years. Bless the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Fortunately, she heard my sermon from last week. She didn't say that. She said, it is well. It is well. She hung on to God's promise. They went up to see the prophet. Prophet says, what's going on? She said, it's well. Prophet comes down and raises her child from the dead. Wonderful story how a mother who was generous, even though she was wealthy. And normally you find that it's not the wealthy people are that generous. It's normally the other way around. Okay, just like the little widow that we read about today in our offering. But her son was raised. And so I wanted to point that mother out to you. Then there's another mother I want to point out to you. She's a New Testament lady found in Matthew chapter 15. This mother of honor intercedes for her child even when it looks like the devil has got the child. And in fact, the devil did have the child. She comes to Jesus in Matthew 15, 22. She happens to be a Gentile woman, which means she had no right to come to Jesus because Jesus was ministering to the Israelites and not to the Gentiles. He hadn't died yet. And so the Gentiles were outside of the covenant. The covenant was made with Israel through Abraham and through Moses. So there was no way the Gentiles had access to God. They were considered people without a covenant, without God. So she comes to Jesus and she says, "Lord, have mercy on me, son of David. My daughter is possessed by a demon and she's being tormented severely." Okay, so Jesus doesn't answer her. In verse 23, you'll notice there Jesus doesn't answer her. He keeps quiet. And I've wondered how we would react if you had come to Jesus, or just say you came to me as the pastor if you didn't get it, okay? And you came to me and you said, "Pastor Henry, I have this great need. Would you please pray for me?" And I look at you . How long would it take before you'd be offended? Because that silence would have offended you, don't you think? And Jesus just ignored her. And I wondered, why would he be so rude? Why would he just be so obnoxious to her? And then I realized he was listening in here. He wanted to hear what the Father had to say about this, because it's the Father's desire to meet every single need. He doesn't want to send anybody away empty-handed. Amen? He just didn't know what to do. I'm telling you, Jesus did not know what to do at that point. Because a Gentile woman, and he recognized this woman had faith. He called him son of David. So this woman recognized who Jesus was, even though she was outside of the covenant. And so he was in his heart, I believe he was praying, say, "Father God, what do you want to do about this?" And the first thing that rose up in his heart was the fact that Jesus' mission wasn't to the Gentiles. And so he said to this woman, he answers and he says to her, before he gets to speak to her, his disciples jump on the bandwagon. You know, all the bodyguards, shush her away. Make her be quiet. Get her out of the inner circle. She's bothering us. What? How obnoxious must that have been? That's happened to me when I've gone up to try and get to somebody and I've got stopped by the outer circle of the bodyguards and I'm trying to get, not for an autograph or anything, yes it was, but I'm, you know, and I'm trying to get inside the circle and I'm being told you can't go there, you know, behind, stay away, stay away, stay away. And you feel like really, I can't say the word in church, but you know how you just feel so bad about who you are. And so she's being told, she can hear these guys. Jesus, tell her to go away. She's bothering us, all this begging, begging, begging. Tell her to go away. And then Jesus says, "I was not sent to help you Gentiles. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And she begins to worship him. It doesn't matter that she's being rejected. She begins to worship him. And she pleads again, "Lord, help me." And then Jesus calls her a dog. I'm telling you, that's got to be the final straw. Really. If you don't get the message, get it now. And he says, "It's not right that I take the bread from the children's table and give it to the dogs." There's no doubt who the children are and who the dogs are in this story. Okay? It's clear. Lady, I can't take what I'm supposed to be giving to the house of Israel, the children of Israel, and give it to the Gentiles' dogs. You can't give it to you. That's pretty harsh. That is exceptionally harsh. At that point, all of us would have left that church. Right?
Yes.
Well, we would have. There's no doubt we'd have left. We'd have left. People have left for far less than that.
Yeah.
She doesn't leave because she's standing there for her daughter. She's gone through all of this for her child. I'm talking to mothers. I'm talking to mothers who, against all odds, who have been spat in the face, who have been beaten up, who have been rejected, who have been turned away, and will not give up the fight.
Yes.
Let's give them a round of applause. Yes. Come on. This is a mother who knows that she is the only link to God for her child. She's the one standing in the gap. And she said, "That's okay, Jesus. I know I'm a dog." But she said, "You know what? Even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall off their master's table. Give me a crumb. Just give me a crumb." And you know what, people? It's really all we need is a crumb from the master's table. We don't need the whole loaf. Amen?
Yeah.
We don't need the whole loaf. We don't need the whole 2-pound steak. We just need a crumb. Just a little bit. That's all it takes. And this woman, because of what she said, Jesus turns to her and says, "Oh, woman, you have such great faith. Go your way. Your daughter is healed. Your daughter is delivered." I just want to remind you, parents, and particularly mothers, what you're doing for your children is standing in the gap. Only heaven knows. Maybe your husband doesn't know. Maybe your other children don't know. Maybe your family doesn't know. But God sees, God understands, and God will honor your faith. Women of honor are women of faith, especially in difficult situations. That's when they really kind of rise up and you can say, "Wow, look at that. How did she cope? How did she do that? What is she made of? Some kind of special DNA." I think mothers are made of some kind of special DNA. There's a story told in 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. Where there was a famine in the land because of the sin, and Elijah had caused this drought. And the Lord speaks to Elijah, and he says to him, "I want you to go to Zarephath. I've commanded a woman over there, a widow, to take care of you when you get there." So he goes to the gate. When he gets there, there's this widow out there picking up some sticks, and he says to her, "Please get me something to drink. Won't you please bring me a little cake, like a piece of bread to eat?" And she answers and says, "Surely, I tell you, even as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread. I have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil, and I'm gathering some sticks. I'm going to make a little fire. I'm going to make a piece of bread. I'm going to feed my son, my child, and myself. We're going to eat this, and we're going to die." Well, you must understand that, if God had promised you that he was going to take care of you and that he had commanded somebody to supply your needs, and you get to your supplier who's going to supply you now, take care of you, and your supplier says to you, "Yeah, not so much. I don't have anything for you because I'm going to eat and die. And there's not going to be anything for you or for any of us." All right, so that's really bad news, especially since this person hasn't heard yet that God commanded them to supply. So Elijah's got to think he missed God. She hasn't heard him yet, and there's nothing to go around. So in this difficult situation, the man of God has got to solve the problem. And he solves it in a very unorthodox way. He tells her, Elijah tells her in verse 13, don't be afraid. Just go and do as you've said. Make a small cake and from the flour and the oil and so on and so forth. There's just one change to the story. Don't eat it. Bring it to me to eat. Well, you're telling me there's no love in that church. When this pastor tells the widow in that church, you make what you've got and bring it to the pastor to eat. Dude. Do you know how many new churches we would have started by now? This is, I mean, we're 10 minutes into our sermon and everybody's bust out because Jesus called people dogs. This guy's trying to eat the widow's food. I mean, this is ridiculous. Right? Isn't the church supposed to help the widows? And here the church is saying, give the widows, give me your food. What is so amazing is that the widow did it. She actually believed what the man of God said. She knew she was going to die. This was her last meal. She had no knowledge that God was going to do anything supernatural. Because somehow she hadn't heard yet that God was saying, listen, I'm sending this man of God to you. I want you to take care of him. So she's standing there thinking, my son and me or the man. And this is all I've got. But the man of God said to her, make the cake, make the bread and bring it to me because God is telling me to tell you that you are going to have a supernatural supply. If you will be obedient, if you will act in faith on what I'm telling you now, if you will do this, then God is going to take care of your need. You see, Elijah was actually sent to help the widow. She didn't know it. But she was going to be required to believe what the man of God said. Even when it looked like there was no food for the family. Some of you have experienced no food for the family. Some of your mothers, maybe widows, have experienced no food for the family. And you know the pressure that that brings. Because as a mother, you'll feed your children before you feed yourself. You will actually die of starvation, but make sure that your child lives. It's just something about you mothers. It's just a wonderful thing. God made you that way. But God also gave you faith. And I want you to know today that you don't have to die. And your child doesn't have to die. You don't have to go without. There is another way around it. If you would put your faith in God and begin to trust Him, even in the dire situation, if you would rise up and things look like you've reached the end, know this, that they have not reached the end. Because when you reach the end of what you've got, that's when God's miracle kicks in. But you've got to reach the end of what you've got before you abandon yourself on God and say, Lord, it's just up to you. I can't do anything more. And God said, man, I've been waiting. Look how long it's taken. And you know what happened? She was blessed. Food didn't run out. The entire rest of the drought, that food, they kept just kept making it. Whenever they needed it, they just kept making it. The jar of flour was not used up, and all the jug of oil did not run out. Just an amazing blessing that lasted the entire famine period. Now, there seems to be a lot of single moms that are desperate. We are today, and they were in the Bible too. Women of honor are often desperate single moms and widows who put action to their faith. And it's usually in the form of hard work. And God also meets them and provides miraculously for them. Let me tell you another one, another story, also from the Old Testament, found in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. There was a school of prophets, like a Bible school. Okay? And Elisha was running the school of the prophets. And so they had a lot of young prophets there, learning how to be prophets. Okay, a lot of wonderful things happen at this school, but they had no medical, no retirement plans, no insurances, no life insurance, none of that. So one of the young prophets' school dies. Now his widow is left without any income. No way of making a survival. She can't make it, okay? And they have two little children. So she comes to Elisha and she says, "Your servant, my husband, is now dead, and his creditors are coming to take my two boys to be his slaves." And this is what Elisha says to her: "What do you have in your house? What do you have in your house?" And it's so interesting that God always starts with what we have. On the other occasions we've looked at, what did you have in your house? Had some oil, had some meal. Remember that? Had something in the house. And she says, she answers and she says, "Well, I have nothing except a little oil." So Elisha says, "Well, that's okay. We can start with that." See, God always wants to start with what you have. He always wants to start with what you have. It's like this. When we're in a desperate situation, we often ask the stove to give us heat. But you have to put wood in the stove. And we get the thing the wrong way around. We say, "Stove, give me heat, and I'll put wood in you." And God's saying, "No, put the wood in the stove, and it'll give you heat." Now, this is exactly what's going on here. So he says, "Okay, so what have you got?" "She's got a bit of oil." So he said, "Okay, well, send out to all your neighbors, get as many empty jugs as you can, not a few. You and your children go behind closed doors and then pour out from the little oil you've got." And you know the story. They go in behind the closed doors and they begin pouring out the oil, pouring out the oil, pouring out the oil, pouring out the oil. And then the mother turns to the child, one of the children, says, "Okay, give me another jar, give me another jar." And the child says, "There are no more jars. We're running out of jars." And then the oil stopped. Let me explain something to you. The oil didn't stop first, and there was an empty jar left. There were no more jars, and God's supply was still ready to go. If we will come to the Lord and we will come as that empty jar, He is never going to stop filling our jar. We can keep coming, He will keep filling. But if we reach a place where we say, "That's enough, I'm full, I need no more," then God's supply will stop. Here's a good thing. Always stay hungry. Always stay needing more from God. Always say, "Lord, what else do you have for me? What else, Lord? What else?" Stay hungry. Stay thirsty for God. Stay looking to God as your source. Never become satisfied with your Christian life. Never reach the status quo where you say, "Yeah, that's it. You know, I'm saved. I'm spirit-filled. La-di-da. I'm good to go. That's all I need. You know, I don't need to do anything else. I'm cool." No, no, you're not. You're becoming stale and rancid. You need the oil to flow. You got to keep flowing. And you got to find empty jars. You could pour your oil out into the empty jars. All right? That's what's going to happen. And so they filled it up. Now, it would be great if the story just stopped there. But the thing is this. What the prophet did is he put this woman into the oil business. Oh, yeah. And she didn't even have to drill for this oil. He said, "Go and sell the oil. Go and sell the oil and pay off your creditors. Settle your debt." God is in the miraculous debt settlement business. She was going to lose her children. She couldn't pay her way. And God not only took care of her debt, He said, "And then live off the balance. Sell it, take care of it, live off the balance." You see, God is all about blessing you so that you have over and abundantly above all that you could ask or think. God doesn't want you to be under the debt and under the circumstances. He wants you to meet the debt and live at peace and have enough to live off. Do you get it? So that's what God wanted. God was blessing this woman, and I'm telling you true, it's true for you today. You don't have to live below the line, all right? Well, do you know that wives are often smarter than their husbands? Yeah, I thought I'd get a lot of amens from that one. Okay. I won't say who just nudged who out there. But I want to tell you a story. At a crucial time, David was not yet king. He was still on the run. Saul's army was trying to kill him. And he had about 600 men that were... running with him and protecting him. And it was a crucial time in his life. And God used a woman, her name is Abigail, and she was the wife of Nabal, to actually stop David from carrying out a vengeful act that would actually have hindered and tarnished his reputation when he finally became king of Israel. It really would have hurt him. Now, what had happened is David's little army had been protecting Nabal's flock. He was quite a wealthy guy, had like a few thousand sheep and goats and stuff. And his army was actually protecting them, never took anything from them, never stole anything from them, and actually defended the flock. And then there came a time when David ran short of supplies. So he sent some of his young men to Nabal and said, listen, this is who we are. We've been protecting your flock out there in the wilderness and stuff. Could you give us some food? We've run out of supplies. And Nabal, being the dumb man that he is, his name means fool. He begins to scream at these guys, who do you think you are? Who do you think David, who does David think he is? Just telling me to give you stuff. And forget you guys, you get out of my, just get out of my face. So these young guys go back to David. David gets really angry. Because, you know, after all, he had done a good service to this man and didn't ask for anything. Now he's got a need, and he's saying, well, listen, won't you help us? We've been helping you. So David gets so mad, he says, okay, 400 guys, who wants to go down and kill him? He didn't have to fight. He didn't have to, you know. He said, okay, we can't take you all. 200, you stay, protect the stuff. He goes down with 400 guys. He's going to wipe him out, and all his servants can take everything. You don't want to give us? We're taking it. Well, his wife, Abigail, gets to hear that David is coming and what has happened. She's smart and she's beautiful. Bible says so. Smart and beautiful. She grabs as much as she can. She grabs some sheep that have been killed recently, raisins, cakes. She grabs water and oil and wine, everything. She gets some donkeys. And she rushes out to meet David on the way down. When she gets to David, she intercedes on behalf of her stupid husband. Now, I'm telling you, husbands, I wonder how many times we have done foolish things and not realized that we were doing stupid stuff, would never acknowledge ever that we had done stupid stuff. And our darling, beautiful, smart wives interceded on our behalf and saved the day. Please don't say amen. Anybody, neither male nor female. This is just not the place to do it. Okay? All right. So listen. In Samuel 25:23, Abigail arrives where David is. She gets off her donkey. She bows down low at his feet, and listen how she presents her argument. She says to him, I accept all the blame in this matter. I love that. You know why? You know why? She didn't do what Adam did. It's this woman you gave me. You know when somebody apologizes, take the blame. Be a man. Man up. Or be a woman. Woman up. All right? Just take it. Don't try and say it was because. Don't justify your position. Just take it on the chin and say, it was my fault. Otherwise, it's not true repentance. True? All right. It's my fault. But please listen to what I've got to say. I know Nabal is a wicked and ill-tempered man. Please, don't pay any attention to him. He is a fool, just as his name suggests. In fact, it is. That's what it says. But she said, I never saw your young men when you sent them. Now, my Lord, she says to David, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, since the Lord has kept you from murdering and taking vengeance with your own hand, let all of your enemies, those who try to harm you, be accursed as Nabal is. And here is a present that I, your servant, have brought to you and to your young men. Please forgive me. If I have offended you in any way, the Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty. For you are fighting the Lord's battles, and you have not done wrong throughout your entire life. Even when you are chased by those who seek to kill you, your life is safe in the care of the Lord your God, secure in his treasure pouch. But the lives of your enemies will disappear like stones shot from a sling. When the Lord has done all he promised and has made you leader of Israel, don't let this be a blemish on your record. And then your conscience won't have to bear the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me, your servant. There is a woman who knows how to argue. Right? Everything she said was the truth. She made him see reason. I want to tell you something, mothers and wives. You have a crucial role to play in the home. You help us men see reason. Even when we blow our roof, our top, whatever you want to call it, and we boil over, there is one person in that home who can bring us down and put our feet on the earth, keep us alive, and let God continue to bless us and work in our lives. Don't neglect your position. Don't give it up. She saved his life, even if it was only for 10 days. And then he died of a terrible disease, and the Old Testament scripture says that God took him out. Of course, in the Old Testament, that was happening. When David heard about it, he sent a message and said, would you be my wife? And as you know, she became one of David's wives. It's an amazing story of saving that took place through a woman interceding who had the sense to know that her husband was being stupid. And you know, sometimes us guys, we don't know. We really don't know. But we've got to be macho and go down fighting. Even if we're going in the wrong direction, we want you to know, I'm the man. And this is the way it's going to be. So I'm asking you wives, please continue to be patient, interceding, loving, and caring. Many of us men are alive today because you went to God on our behalf. And you said, oh, Lord, forgive my stupid husband. Forgive him. Okay? And you interceded on behalf of your children. And we want to honor you today. God did something special when he created a helpmeet for us men. When he created a woman, a mother, to take care of the family, he provided you and he gave you to us as our gift. To love us and to care for us and to minister to us. Amen? Amen? So we want to pray for you one more time and to say thank you. And we want to honor you today. All right? So I want to pray again for the mothers and the ladies in our midst. Lord, I just thank you for the wonderful gift that you designed for us men and for the children. Thank you for blessing us this way. And for giving them such a special anointing and such abilities to love us and to care for us in spite of us. You saw that we had a need and you provided for us. Thank you, Lord. We bless the ladies in our life today. Bless them with long life, with health, with happiness, and with peace. And I pray for the men. God, give us wisdom. Help us to be the man that we're supposed to be. Thank you for Christian wives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. I didn't want to keep you long because I wanted you to get out and take your wife to a little Mother's Day lunch somewhere. Amen. Get on out of here. God bless you.